You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show. And you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And if you're a long-time fan of Showtime or of this podcast, then you'll probably be able to tell already how excited I am about this week's episode. Because after what feels like years and years of waiting, the musical stage version of Moulin Rouge is finally about to arrive in the UK. And the full cast has also just been announced. Yes, this is big, big news. If you're not familiar with Moulin Rouge as a stage show, it's based on the Baz Luhrmann film of the same name, but with even more incredible songs. I'll put a link here in the post to the full Broadway cast recording because it is genuinely so much fun. It's a jukebox musical, which means that it uses existing music rather than having original songs, but they have done such a good job in adapting the songs that they use for the stage that I swear each and every one feels like it could have been written specifically for Moulin Rouge. It opened on Broadway in America at the end of 2019, and we've been obsessed with it here ever since. So we've been waiting and waiting and waiting with bated breath for it to come to the UK. And it was pretty exciting to have it initially confirmed that it would be opening last year. That was, of course, until the pandemic happened and it got delayed. So more waiting. But the good news is it's back on track and Moulin Rouge will be opening at the Piccadilly Theatre in London for its first preview on the 12th of November this year, with an official opening set to happen in December. Tickets are on sale now and you can follow the link here in the post to find out more. But the reason I wanted to talk about Moulin Rouge on this week's episode of Spotlight On is because we've just had the full cast announced for the London show, and oh my god, it's incredible. So I've invited my radio partner in crime, PR Abby from Showtime, to join me on this week's episode for a real deep dive into Moulin Rouge as a show. A full rundown of everyone who'll be in it, and just a celebration of what Moulin Rouge means to us. So take it away.
I'm very excited. I think part of it is just we've been waiting for an announcement for so long. Because obvious reasons. The fact that we now have new news is just extra exciting.
Like, A, very exciting, it's a cast announcement. B, it sort of makes it real. It's happening.
It feels, because I think everyone who, maybe you live outside of London, you don't have access to the West End, it kind of almost doesn't feel real that, like, it's up and running again until you can, like, see it. So then having, like, new cast announcements and all that sort of, like, the news coming back out of it, it makes it feel more like, oh, no, like, it's going to continue. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, we're back now. But you're right that it's sort of kind of a step in the right direction for going back to theatre and stuff, and that's great. And
I think because it's a new show as well. Mm. We haven't had a new show on the West End for, like, 2 years now,
yeah,
ish. So it's just like, oh, new things, shiny things. Oh my god!
And I think what's also good about this, and I feel like I'm going to reveal a lot about myself as a sort of a theatre fan now. It's very rare that we get a show that, you know, has been established in America that's transferring here that we don't really know all that much about. We know the music of Moulin Rouge. We've listened to the cast recording. We've played loads of the songs on Showtime. But we haven't really seen it. You know, there have been a couple of performances. They did, you know, the opening Moulin Rouge number. That was performed on, I think, Good Morning America. There have been a few little things like that, but we haven't really seen the show in a way that Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen and Come From Away, you know, we'd seen clips online, we'd seen Tony Award performances, we'd seen promotional stuff, we'd also seen bootlegs that people had recorded, whereas actually Moulin Rouge opened on Broadway relatively quickly. Broadway shut down because of the pandemic, so we haven't seen it all that much, and it's quite exciting for me, certainly, as someone who, you know, like to think they know quite a bit about musical theatre and the shows that we're going to see. It's very rare I get to go into a show not expecting certain beats or certain lines or certain jokes. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing something that is so new.
And I think with the, it's obviously got a very like theatrical staging, like it goes very extra, which you can't get on like the Good Morning America kind of pieces and things like that if they're not filmed on stage. Yeah. Like if they're just filmed in the like TV studio, this show relies on being a feast for the eyes.
Yeah, speaking of feast for the eyes, it's not the point of this podcast, but obviously Tony Awards are happening this evening as this show gets released. We'll have done a special on it on Showtime, and we'll be having a podcast with all the results on it. Moulin Rouge is up for all of, well, a whole host of things, but in terms of the design awards, costume, scenery, lighting, staging, choreography, all those sorts of things. And the critics are predicting that it will take them all because of that sort of lavish spectacle that goes so hand in hand in Moulin Rouge. I think we've got really used to minimalism in theatre. Yeah. Things like Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, obviously minimalist in different ways, but Come From Away, that's 12 actors, 13 chairs and a load of jackets. Dear Evan Hansen.
Amazing. You know.
Incredible stuff. Like, genuinely love it so much. Dear Evan Hansen, 8 performers, you know, a few sort of stripped back, like, set pieces on platforms that roll in and out, but they're all very like minimalist, quite theatrical in a lot of ways, in the sense that you have to use your imagination. Moulin Rouge is the exact opposite. Moulin Rouge has got everything in the kitchen sink thrown at it. It's the definition of maximalist, and in a lot of ways it's been really rare since we've had something that just really lent into this is mad and we know it, here's everything. And I think it's theatrical in the kind of the grandeur spectacle side of things, which I think is really nice to see. It does make it an expensive show, as we have seen with the ticket prices in London. But if it's worth it, I don't mind paying a bit more for all the glitter and sparkles.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have a balance of shows as well, because if you have everything be minimalist, you can kind of, it doesn't become the same because obviously things are very different, but you get used to one style, and then when you see something maximalist, it just feels different by sheer force of the having a different sort of house style, I guess.
Well, I think that's why the minimalism thing has become so popular, because just sort of off the top of my head, once the musical, when that opened in 2011, that was the first sort of mainstream minimalist show, I guess, how you want to say. Like, you know, up until that point we'd had things like Wicked and Book of Mormon and, you know, all these like let's like make a big production of it, which is great, you know. I love that sort of thing. And then once came along and it felt so different, and it really fits the story as well. Moulin Rouge would not work if it was like,
can you imagine?
Let's have one man and a piano. Doing the can-can.
Oh my God, I kind of want to see what they would try and do. Like, like just one giant elephant, because you need the elephant involved. But
no,
like that
no
is just
elephant.
The set.
The elephant love medley.
The elephant is a metaphor.
The elephant is a metaphor. I can't believe they didn't get in touch with us, Abby, to
I know.
To stage the show. We could have been part of the London team.
It would just be full of boxes, a la Fight the Fight.
From Here to Eternity.
From Here to Eternity. We're just like, look, guys, use your imaginations. Really
look,
feel it.
Look, if there's a key change, you dramatically stand on a box. That's the rule.
That's all we want.
Okay, but we are here to talk about the new West End production of Moulin Rouge, and more specifically the cast announcement that has been released. I will put the link here in the post so that you can find out all the information for yourself and see all the beautiful faces of all these people who are going to be performing in a show that we love so much. But we're here to get into the nitty-gritty of it, to let you know our thoughts, our ramblings, as if we have any idea.
Once again, why didn't they ask us to pitch
in? We know this show like the back of our hands. But I think it's safe to say, given how a lot of cast announcements recently, like going back to before the pandemic, in sort of the, you know, the past few years, there's always kind of a star name It's not celebrity stunt casting in the way that we're seeing in movie musicals, but there's always like a real big name musical theatre performer that is going to win over theatre fans because they know that they're good, but also is someone people, that might, yeah, normal people might know them and it might interest
normal
them.
Normal people.
Normal people.
Those people out there.
The muggles. There's always sort of a star theatrical name. And while Moulin Rouge has a cast of performers with such esteemed credits in musical theatre, none of them are huge names. Like, not even the leads. You know, the guy playing Christian, this is his professional debut.
That fact, bless him.
Oh, I love
I'm rooting for the whole cast. I know they're all going to be brilliant, but I think, weirdly, because you need to be endeared to Christian, it's a fantastic move to go, this is his first role.
Well, this is
be
the
nice
thing.
Be nice to him, everybody.
This is the thing. I really like the fact that there's no single performer, realistically, that anyone is going to go and see Moulin Rouge specifically to see. And I really like that because it means that you're going to enjoy each of their individual performances and get to know them as their characters rather than being like, oh my gosh, that's Rachel Tucker as Captain Beverly Bass. I can't believe I'm getting to see her. Hence why I started crying during Come From Away very, very early. Like, we haven't got that. And I think that's really refreshing.
And especially in contrast to the Broadway production, which is fuller names, specifically if we're talking about Christy and Aaron Tveit, like, there will be a lot of people going to see Moulin Rouge on Broadway because he's in it.
Absolutely.
And that's fantastic. And, like, I'm slightly jealous of them. Fine. I'm okay.
Like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
I have TikTok, Moulin Rouge Broadway TikTok to watch them all rehearsing. It's fine. I'm okay. But it's nice that they haven't tried to sort of recreate that in the West End. They're like, look, the show is going to stand literally as... And I think as well, because Moulin Rouge is such a like cultural icon anyway... You don't necessarily need it to bring in audiences because you've got audiences who have seen the film.
Yeah.
And like the big name, weirdly, is the name of the show.
Yeah. I was going to say, it feels like they're going for the film audience from the sort of the popularity perspective rather than any particular names. And, you know, it's good there that you mention Aaron Tveit, the, as we recall, this Tony nominated, presumably Tony winning Aaron Tveit, only one nominated in his category. But yeah, so Aaron Tveit plays Christian on Broadway. That's the Ewan McGregor role. And I remember talking to you, Abby, and about sort of my kind of cast predictions. I don't want to call it a dream cast because I feel like that's always... It holds negative connotations when someone else then gets cast and they're like, oh, but I wasn't your dream. And you go, well, you can be now. But like, I was thinking people that we have in the West End community who are sort of our versions of Aaron Tveit. We've got Rob Houchen from Les Mis. I thought he'd be a solid shot. Bradley Jayden, who's really coming into his own, not least because he's got excellent hair. He's been playing, Enjolras in the concert production of Les Mis. And then when Michael Ball left, he took over the role of Javert. My brain was going towards sort of that kind of performer. Did not predict someone making their professional debut, and I absolutely love it. So we have Jamie Boggio, who trained at RADA. As I say, he's making his professional debut. I will say, and this is the thing that made me fall in love with him, he's been part of a variety of college a cappella groups with Yale University. So he started off in the Duke's Men of Yale, then moved on to the Whiffen Poofs, which, other than, as far as I'm aware, he hasn't been in the Yale Spiz Winks, but I adore college a cappella. And the fact that he's got his roots
Everyone there is
like...
Everyone who listens to Showtime is shocked that you enjoy a cappella.
All right, let's
what a turnaround.
But I just think he's just so lovely, and I've just been binge-watching clips of him singing, you know, college a cappella songs, and... He's just
but also
got...
you. Well, we don't have any other reference point for him. We don't have so when he was playing X in this show, this is what he sounded like. This is how he like handled the performance. All that we've got for him is his a cappella singing, and also what Ella has found his other job.
Okay, so for context, Jamie Bojo is an American / Hungarian national, and I was like, I would, you know, as someone with the surname Fedrinska, I would like to check that I'm saying his surname properly, because I assume Bojo is Hungarian. I think it's the Hungarian word for berries. And so I was like, well, I want to try and find an interview with him where he says his own name, or somebody says his name, so I can just check the pronunciation. I did not expect to find him sitting in a suit leading a Zoom webinar series about how to apply to prestige Ivy League universities in America. Can I just say, I watched quite a lot of it. Some useful information. That was released in like October last year. I'm sorry. How do you go from leading a business webinar series about applying to university to being the lead in Moulin Rouge in the West End in under a year? How?
It's something I hope that interviewers ask him. I hope we get some content. But also, part of me doesn't want to know anything. And it's like, no, I just want to believe that you were so good in this webinar series that they went, you know who you should play? Come have an audition, come on.
Someone was watching it and going, this guy has got Christian written all over him. Come join us. So that's rogue casting, but brilliant. Mm. I love it. And he's obviously going to be opposite the character of Satine, Christian's love interest. That's the Nicole Kidman role in the film, played on Broadway originally and on the Broadway cast recording by Karen Olivo, who's brilliant. I'd spent a lot of time trying to think of who our version of Karen Olivo was in the West End and hadn't really landed on anyone. So I'm really, really pleased to get to know more about the actress that they've chosen. It's Lise LaFontaine, who, like, with a name like that, you can only be in Moulin Rouge, right?
They just looked at her name and was like, yep, you can be Satine. Don't need teasing. It's fine. Like, come on board.
I can't believe they haven't changed the character name to Lise LaFontaine. Lise LaFontaine is more of a Moulin Rouge name than any of the characters in Moulin Rouge.
Than Satine is, to be fair. Yeah.
Again, if they'd put us in charge, Abby, we'd have changed it. We know what we're doing.
Exactly.
But yeah, Lise LaFontaine, I don't personally know that much about her. And then I'm kind of surprised that she's not better known outside of the theatre community, because she actually originated the role of Dina in Dreamgirls in the West End. And if you've seen the film version of Dreamgirls, that's the part played by Beyoncé. Like,
it's not a small part.
Not a small part by any means. That was the production that had Amber Riley as Effie. Amber Riley from Glee went on to win an Olivier Award for the role. So I wonder whether maybe she was a bit... Lise LaFontaine was a bit eclipsed by Amber Riley being in it and kind of being the... You know, we were saying earlier, that kind of... Not celebrity casting,
name.
But like the big name casting. So I've sort of been falling down a rabbit hole of watching Lise LaFontaine videos. She is such a stunning singer. She has an amazing vocal range. The power when she hits the high notes is incredible. She's not as sort of deep and husky as Karen Olivo, I guess is the way you describe it. But I think she's going to play the part so, so well. And as I say, Lise LaFontaine. Just let that
It's not a name that you can forget either. Like, once you know it, you're like, every time she'll be in something, you'll be like,
yeah,
I know you. And I think, yeah, you need someone with that range to play Satine, just because of the range of songs that she's involved with. And mm. The new song for this is Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, I think.
Yeah. The Sparkling Diamond, I think it's called.
Sparkling Diamond, yeah. And it's got all these sort of mashup of all these things that reference diamonds and things. And it is a song that kind of jumps around a lot, so you need someone who can like handle that. So I'm very excited.
Really, really
it's
excited
be great.
To see those two together. Then we have what is maybe my favourite casting of them all. This is such a me thing. Clive Carter is playing Harold Zidler, the guy who owns the Moulin Rouge. Clive Carter was the original Mayor Claude Elliott in Come From Away in the West End. He is all of our grandparents, and I love him more than I can say. And the fact that he's gone from, you know, playing the mayor in this really lovely show like Come From Away to Harold Zidler. He's going to have the top hat. He's going to have the red jacket. He's going to be made up gloriously. I'm so excited.
like, it's certainly a jump. Like, I'm imagining the mayor's outfit from Come From Away, and like suddenly the time needed to get into costume is going to dramatically increase, I feel, for him.
Mm. I mean, I will say he's got such an immense back catalogue of shows that he's been in. Les Mis, Phantom, he was in the original London production of Into the Woods, he played the wolf, he was Olivier nominated for that. He was also Olivier Award nominated for his role in Come From Away. He was in the original Wizard of Oz production that Andrew Lloyd Webber did. He has played Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror, which I didn't know, and I'm now more excited than ever.
Incredible. Well, I mean, that alone,
yeah,
I think proves that you will be able to handle the role of Harold Zeidler. Sorry, that is totally taking me by surprise.
Abby, are you also just imagining the mayor from Come From Away as Frankenfurter?
Yeah. Just imagining. Just really confused about how he's got there, but like, he's gonna do his best.
North America, there's an island called Newfoundland. Near that, there's a town called Gander. Jacket comes off, corset fishnets.
It's a very different kind of town.
Well, there is that line in it where the two Kevins are in the barn. They're like, "We found the gayest town in North America," and it's like he rocks up in his high heels and fishnets.
Yeah,
I'd love that.
Oh, wow.
It's the crossover we didn't know we needed. But yeah, he's going to be Harold Zeidler. I'm so, so excited about that. I think he's going to be a really endearing version of Harold, and I'm very excited about that. Then we've got the Duke, the baddie.
Ooh.
Thank you, Abby. Played by Tam Mutu on Broadway. This is going to be Simon Bailey in the West End. Now, Simon Bailey, for those in the theatre industry, is such a big name. He's been in everything. He's become one of those stars that doesn't ever become super famous, if that makes sense. Like, he's been in the West End production of Heathers with Carrie Hope Fletcher. He was in Jersey Boys. He's done Joseph, We Will Rock You, Phantom, Lame It, like, you name a show, and Simon Bailey has probably been in it. I even found a video of him online singing Fight the Fight from Here to Eternity. No dramatic standing on a box, unfortunately. But, you know,
we'll give him some notes. It's fine.
We've got direction to go in. But, yeah, he's such a big name, such a staple performer, without ever becoming well known. And I'm really pleased that he's going to have the opportunity to originate a role like the Duke, because, you know, I think he'll play the part really well. Fantastic. But this is going to be such a big show, as we've said, that draws so many people, but not for any individual name in the show particularly. And I'm really excited that people are going to get to discover Simon Bailey doing what he does best.
I think as well, with such a... So we talked about Christian being, like, very new to the industry. I think having those two... In big roles, like, it'll kind of anchor it a bit.
Yeah.
Because of their confidence, they know what they're doing. But also, the Duke is such a fun role to play. Because you are the big bad. And, like, I think as much as, like, new musical theatre, you're trying to, like, complicate characters. You're trying to be like, ooh, like, backstory and trying to, like, understand their roles. The Duke, absolutely not. You're just, like, you are just a bad person. And it's so fun to watch. So I'm really, really excited to see someone kind of revel in that as well, and like have a lot of fun with that kind of role.
Absolutely. Then Toulouse Lautrec, the leader of the Bohemians. This I'm excited about. Jason Pennycook, who was in the original West End production of Memphis and the original West End production of Hamilton. He played Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson. Olivier Award nominated for that, among a whole host of other roles and things that he's done in the West End. Also stars very briefly in Rocket Man, the Elton John film, which I rewatched recently, had completely forgotten he was in it, and on a train audibly went, "Oh, Jason!"
who does he play in Rocket Man?
He, you know, there's the sort of the African-American swing band that
Right at the beginning.
Yeah, Elton does the keyboards for. He's the lead singer in that.
Oh, I hadn't made that connection.
I think his name's Wilson.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's there. And my brain just went, oh, Jason! And
like your friends. Just like,
just don't look at me on the train. Also, Abby, and I think you'll enjoy this, he's from Leeds.
Yay! I know who my favourite character is. That's done. But also, King of, like, leader of the Bohemians having a Leeds accent is going to be, like, I don't know if they'll make him, like... I don't know how strong his accent is. Cause...
Well, this is the thing. So I've never heard him using a Leeds accent, other than in, like, maybe interviews and things. To me, he's always played American characters.
Yeah.
You know, in Hamilton, in Memphis. And given that Jamie Boggio, who's playing Christian, is himself American, has an American accent, I wonder whether they will just keep...
He might go American.
They will just keep the American accents for everybody.
It's fine. I'm okay.
No, you're like...
No, a little bit.
This Leeds erasure. Okay.
It is. You never get to hear my accent on stage, probably because it's, you know, it might not be relevant for every character, but it's just the idea of him. Like, it would put a new spin on the Bohemians.
What are you talking about? You've literally got everybody's talking about Jamie, in which everyone has a Yorkshire accent. I know it's not Leeds specific, it's Sheffield.
Yes,
but
that's fine.
Wait till you get to blooming Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
Where are we? Where's the Yellow Belly musical we deserve?
So, you know, Moulin Rouge, look, we know you've got your cast.
Yeah.
But if they could have a range of accents, that would be brilliant.
We will come on to diversity later, because I think they've done a really good job with it, and yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that, even with this Leeds erasure. Yeah. But yeah, Jason...
Very excited to see him, though.
Jason Pennycook is going to be amazing. He's also such a fabulous dancer. He's been worked as a choreographer extensively. Olivier Award nominated as a choreographer. He is such brilliant casting. Slightly older than Sarn and Gouger, who plays the role on Broadway, so I think that'll be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
But I'm really
looking
forward to it.
Also, he plays, in some ways, not to get all, like, analysis about it, but in some ways kind of a parental role to Christian.
Yeah.
So that kind of, it fits in with that kind of dynamic, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So excited about him. And actually, talking about the dancing element, we move on to Santiago, the Argentinian, the narcoleptic Argentinian in the film. This is played on Broadway by Ricky Rojas, who I think we both love. Very, very prominent in Moulin Rouge TikTok and social yeah. media, with his little moustache. I genuinely adore him. Him and Nini are the ones that I was sort of, in a weird way, like, most interested to see who they were going to cast, because you need such an amazing stage presence, a great voice, and that danceability. They've gone for Elia Lotoro, who has done a lot of sort of dancing shows, like Dirty Dancing, like On Your Feet, which is the Gloria Estefan show, as well as things like Jesus Christ Superstar and The Lion King. He is from Sicily, I think, so... Again, accents could be interesting, but I trust that they've cast him. I heard him singing Written in the Stars from Elton John's Aida. He was so, so good in that. But also that was from 10 years ago. And I can only begin to imagine how much he's grown as a performer in that time. And I think his voice will have deepened, will have rounded out a bit. And I genuinely think he may be perfect casting. I'm really excited
about
this one.
And I think, thinking about those shows that you mentioned, it is that physicality as well. Mm. Maybe not all of them are, like, high dance roles in the, like, the traditional sense, but it is all about your body on the stage. So yeah. I think, yeah, I'm very excited.
And
Roxanne is one of my favourite songs, so seeing
well,
them all dancing is going to be...
The song that genuinely I'm most excited to see, because it has that sort of... So Roxanne... is the one that we know from the film. We're expecting sort of the Argentine tango flavour. Like, I'm so excited. But Backstage Romance,
yeah.
which opens Act 2, which starts with just Santiago and Nini on stage. If you listen to the cast recording, it's got that real, like, tension that, you know, Ricky Rojas brings in a real growl in his voice. It's so well done. That's the song that I'm most excited to see. By yeah. far. It's also, I don't know if I should admit to this, it's the only song that I've seen a bootleg of, and it's genuinely spectacular. And a lot of it, particularly from Santiago's perspective, it's not necessarily about dancing, but about commanding the stage. Yeah. And I think Ilia Lotoro is going to do that fantastically. Very excited to see it. And obviously, his partner in crime, Nini. I didn't realise it. In my head, she's just called Nini. She's actually called Nini, Legs in the Air.
Fantastic.
Which, like, brilliant. Lizzie LaFontaine, Nini, Legs in the Air. Same show. Played on Broadway by Robin Herder, who I think is my favourite member of the entire Broadway cast. I adore her voice so, so much. She's going to be played in the West End by Sophie Carmen Jones. Again, the dancing skills are very important, and she has it in bucket loads. She played most recently Velma Kelly in Chicago. So, A, we know she can sing, but B, we know she can bloody dance. And I'm really, really excited to see this. She's also in Rocket Man as a dancer, so maybe less exciting than Jason Pennycook, but she is there. Also, as I realised on IMDb, she's in the Cats movie as McCavity Girl.
Right.
Make of that what you will. Don't hold it against her, necessarily.
I love the fact they just went through the Rocket Man. Like, clearly someone was watching it and went, can we maybe ask these people if they...
We've got the guy from the Yale webinar series. Now let's go to Rocket Man.
We've locked in the big name. Let's maybe go for some, you know, background people.
Then, along with Nini, you have the other three performers at the Moulin Rouge, La Chocolat, Arabia, and Baby Doll. They are going to be played, respectively, by Tamika Ramsey, Zoe Burkett, and Johnny Bishop. Tamika Ramsey, I think, of the cast that I've been looking at, probably has the fewest theatre credits by comparison to a lot of the others, but I've heard her singing on YouTube, and it sort of feels redundant at this point to be like, she's a really good singer. Like, I trust the casting, but she is fantastic. And again, a real stage presence.
I think as well, it's not just like, when we say good, like a great singer, but also a great singer for these roles specifically.
Yeah,
that's like kind of what we're meaning when we say that. Because like, obviously they can all sing, they're all West End
particularly
actors,
when, you know, but I think I speak for both of us when I say that we've been listening to the Broadway cast recording somewhat religiously since its release. And there are going to be beats of this show that we know like the back of their hands and that we're expecting to be sung in a certain way. And what we kind of desperately need as theatre fans, as audience goers, are people who can either match the Broadway performers or put their own twist on it to make it better. And there is nothing more exciting than when you listen to a cover or, you know, a West End versus American performance of something, and you have that moment of going, oh, hello, I like that, because they've just done something slightly different that you weren't expecting. And I think that every single one of these performers will bring that in bucket loads. So we've got Tamika Ramsey as La Chocolat, Zoe Burkett, who was one of the youngest ever contestants on the first series of Pop Idol back in 2001. She's going to be playing Arabia. Again, a immense backlist of theatre performances. She was in Rock of Ages with Kevin Clifton. She played Justice, who runs the Venus Club. She understudied Alexandra Burke as the lead in The Bodyguard, and I think she's going to embody that character so, so well. And then last but not least, Baby Doll, who is sometimes portrayed as a trans character, sometimes portrayed as someone who cross-dresses. She's going to be played by Johnny Bishop, who's been in things like Hamilton and in The Heights and Lion King, but who is also an incredible dancer. He works professionally as a dancer. He's been with One Direction and Justin Bieber and Cher Lloyd, if you remember Cher Lloyd, and Will I Am. So, again, a very, very exciting cast there, I think.
Definitely. And I sort of got two thoughts as we're going through those. One, love how much Rock of Ages have come up as like a... show that people have been in, because it's also got like big stage presence. We know what we're doing is mad, but you're gonna have a great time watching, and everyone's
absolutely
like, yeah, fantastic. And also how many of them, not necessarily like, even if they don't have the like West End credits, how much like dance is been focused on in the casting and how much, because also you need people who they're gonna perform this show like 8 times a week. You're gonna need people who have that stamina like built in, because it's such like a dancey big show.
Yeah.
And so it's nice that they've thought about that as they're casting and going through and going and then like just picking people based on that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that it's important to address here is that, you know, over the past year, we've seen an increasing number of cast announcements coming through. A lot of them are very exciting. A lot of them are slightly disappointing, particularly at a time when so many of us are trying to fight for more representation in the theatre industry, and you're having shows release their, you know, all new cast, usually with an entirely white, like, main cast, and then maybe like two or three non-white people in the ensemble, and they're going, yes, we're doing our bit for diversity, and you're like, please, can we stop this? We've seen a trend this year that I desperately want to stop. Shows that don't have a particularly diverse cast will release headshots of the cast in black and white, so it makes it harder to spot. Mm. And you're like, no, absolutely stop this. I hate
but
it.
But also, like, who do you think you're fooling? Mm. Like, because, you can still kind of see it even when they're in black and white, and two, people are going to go see the show.
Yeah.
Like,
I just find it incredibly frustrating that we're at this point and people, well, production teams can still seem to think they can get away with it. However, Moulin Rouge, absolute antithesis to that, and we love to see it. It's such a gloriously diverse cast, both across the main cast and throughout the ensemble. Again, if you follow the link here in the post, you'll be able to see everybody. It's so, so good to see, and the fact that so many audience members are going to see themselves represented on stage. Mm. We're not just talking diverse in terms of like skin colour or ethnicity, also in terms of size and body shape. And that's so, so refreshing. And
it could be very easy to put a lot on this cast and on the show itself and go, but it's kind of sad that it has that pressure.
Yeah.
In a way, because it's one of the only ones doing this kind of casting. And, you know, the show itself may not represent everyone, but also it shouldn't be put on one show to do everything as well.
Not. And it also, it shouldn't be news that show is doing this.
We shouldn't be talking. We should just be, like, excited that, you know, we've got some new names coming through and people who maybe have been in the West End but haven't got that public recognition. Like, that's kind of why we focus on that when we're chatting as well, is because that's the bit that we're excited about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but it is lovely to see, and especially for a show that's going to have such a kind of response, I think, from people who don't watch a lot of musical theatre, who, you know, this, they might be going because they love the film and they want to see a live version of it.
Yeah,
in a way,
exactly.
It's nice that it's putting its best foot forward.
Mm. I will share a link for the What's On Stage article where they announced the cast, because there's a picture of the cast in there and it is the most stylish thing I've ever
seen.
They
look so good.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely got that Moulin Rouge vibe. Like,
yeah.
You know that feeling when you see velvet and you automatically want to, like,
stroke
it? I
was going to mention.
It
looks velvety.
It looks like that. But it's also, it's not sepia, but it's got these kind of like glorious brown, dark, reddish tones.
Yeah.
It's sort of in like 1920s meets velvet meets Moulin Rouge. And I love
but
it.
But also,
I just keep staring at it.
Like old school theatre curtains.
Yes.
It's that feel when you look and you can see, and then the curtains are going to open. It's that anticipation. But then you see all the cast like all posed.
Again,
so amazingly.
It's that theatricality that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That sort of the maximal, like, we are a stage show and we are embracing that wholeheartedly. It's all about the performance element. And again, really, really very excited to see that. It's not a cast thing specifically, but I will also say that the entire creative team from the Broadway production are involved in the West End shows. So that goes for direction and choreography and music supervision, as well as like hair and makeup and costume. So it really is, as far as we can see, literally just the Broadway show transplanted directly into the West End. I do wonder whether a few lines might get changed. We don't necessarily know what they'll be, even when we go to watch it. Like, I'm just thinking of the Come From Away. When I watched the Broadway version that's been filmed and put on Apple TV, there are a couple of lines in that that are different from the West End show, which I hadn't even thought about. like the best example is at the end, Janice gets contacted by a famous American journalist whose name I can't remember. But in the West End version, she's contacted by Oprah. And it's like little things like that that just get changed to suit a British audience better. And I will be interested to see if anything like that happens. But other than that, it's literally going to be the same show. The choreography especially, I'm very excited to see, because there's one particular box split that I've been thinking about from the one time I watched the bootleg of Backstage Romance that I have never been able to see again. And I'm like, I need to go and see it for that moment. For that specific split.
Then you're like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, I'll just leave after that.
I've seen what I needed to see. I've got what I'm here for.
Because we're going, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, everything, like, as long as it happens. We are going to be there on the opening preview on the 12th of November.
I cannot explain to you the emotion that I feel when I remember that we're going to go see it, when you mention it. Like, it's just... I can't believe it, but also I think even when we're going to be sat in the theatre, I'm still not going to believe it until it's happening, and then I just hope that I remember to watch the show rather than just going, oh my god, it's happening inside my brain. But yeah, I'm so excited, and this cast announcement's just made me even more so to go see it.
Absolutely. I just... I other than I think Come From Away... I don't think I've been this excited about a show, and it's a very different excitement to Come From Away. I'm looking forward to the spectacle of it and just being caught up in the magical chaos of it all. And I think right, it's going to be like the confetti cannons at the end of the show will go off. I'm sure there'll be a standing ovation. And I think even in that moment it won't feel real.
No. But also I think weirdly it's going to be hopefully a show that if you go back and watch it again you pick up on new things because there is going to be so much to watch, so many characters to keep your eye on throughout the show, and it's kind of overwhelming a little bit. I don't know how the cast are feeling because they've got to learn all the show now.
Well, this is the thing, I know when the cast announcement came out, and then they've all, you know, now that it's been announced, all the cast themselves are like tweeting and posting about it, and someone had commented being like, oh, first day of rehearsals today. And I know logically that as a professional theatre performer, you can learn an entire show in about 6 weeks. You know, even less sometimes.
And you can learn it, and like some people learn as they are in another show.
Yes. Like, and like it is a full-time job. It's not like amateur dramatics where you do it sort of one evening a week. It's like your 9 to 5, often longer job every single day. You can learn that. And yet my brain is still going, not enough time. Why didn't you start earlier this year? You're gonna run out of time, you're not gonna know it. I would be panicking. They are not. And I'm really excited to see that.
Hence maybe. Just maybe why we are not involved in the behind the scenes. But if they need an extra pair of hands, we're volunteering ourselves. We'll bring
a bucket of glitter just in case.
Glitter standby. Oh, that backstage of that theatre is going to be covered.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's going to be, the one for me is knowing that someone's going to have to come and clear up like the confetti and the streamers every evening.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there with some brushes. We'll bring our own to the preview night. Don't worry about it. We got you covered.
Here to help. Yes, obviously the thing with previews is that you go into them knowing it's literally previews. It's not opening officially until December. Things might change. So again, another reason that we might have to go and see it more than once, Abby. What a shame.
I know. It's all for you, Spotlight On listeners. We want to give you the perfect review. We want to give you a full, encompassing review. So we'll have to go see it multiple times.
We don't even like Moulin Rouge that much. We're just doing it for you.
Yeah. It's fine. I have no emotional attachment to it whatsoever.
It's fair.
Definitely not going to cry.
Okay, my last question, Abby. Where do you think you're going to start crying in this?
See, there's a part of me that's like, I think I will be able to hold on. I will be very calm. It's all going to be fine until the moment, as we all know it. And the other half of me is like, as soon as, you know, we hear the first notes of the score, I will start, like, I think quite dignified kind of crying. Yes. I'm not going to be full on sobbing yet, but there will be tears. I will be just sort of so excited. I might also squeal quite a lot. I'm really sorry. We're very sorry to whoever sits next to us, because it's going to be a lot of energy to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I have the feeling, because, you know, the last time I went to a sort of opening night preview was Come From Away, and it was such an amazing experience because everybody in that theatre was there because they already loved the show. And the energy was so exciting. And I feel like Moulin Rouge is going to have that. But obviously, it's Moulin Rouge, so the energy is just going to be elevated. Again, with Come From Away, I was expecting to start crying when, like, it got sad. And I started... I teared up a few times, but, like, didn't cry. And then Rachel Tucker started singing Meet in the Sky, which is the song that got me into Come From Away. And I full-on sobbed from there on till the end of the show. And then I remember leaving and speaking to one of the ushers. And like I was just sobbing. I'm like, it's such a good show. I really love it. It was so good. Thank you for being. Like, just that, I was a mess. And so I don't know if I'm going to be that level with Moulin Rouge, because obviously they... there are moments where it's sad, but it's not the same, like, emotional overhaul as Come From Away. But I think the magic of seeing the songs that I love so much
and,
on stage
and
will just get me.
And being the thing of a new... like, I know it's not going to be the first one to open, but a new show on the West End, all everybody in together, everyone excited for that. I think that push behind it as well maybe is going to make me cry. More so than if things had gone as planned ahead as they were planning to. But I'm
also,
happy to cry.
I realised that I cry at curtain calls.
Yeah.
So the bit when people, like, usually out of character, they just come forward to bow and everyone's clapping. And, like,
but they've
some
done
people,
so well.
Well, this is the thing. I'm, like, really proud of the actor for having got through it and for doing the part well.
You did it.
You can relax now. Well done. Go and have cake. I'm so excited. And I'm also, I have to say, made more excited by the fact that I know I'm going to share this experience with you, Abby, because to this day, one of my favourite ever theatre experiences was Anne Juliet. Because we both went into that not really knowing what to expect. And the magic and the campness and the chaos won us both over. But I've never been more giddy. And I'm really pleased that I had you there to witness it with me. And I feel like Moulin Rouge is going to be that, but heightened.
Yes. The interval's going to be interesting. Because the interval of Anne Juliet, you were like... It was weird. Because it was like just the adrenaline rush of it all. Because as well... They close the act on
Bon Jovi,
don't
it's
they?
My life. Romeo rappels from the ceiling on the swing. There's confetti cannons and smoke
it's
machines.
It's just a lot. So you're sort of the adrenaline rush of that, but then you have nowhere to go, because unless you need, like, the bathroom or something, you're kind of just sort of stood up around your seat, you know.
Bouncing.
You know.
Bouncing.
Yeah. Completely giddy. So I feel like it's going to be similar, but there's going to be both of us.
Well, this is the thing, because Moulin Rouge ends Act One on the Elephant Love Medley.
I promise not to sing along. I won't, because that is rude. You shouldn't sing along while the people are singing.
Here's a fun thing. Don't sing along at shows unless it's the pass the curtain call and you're being encouraged to. Do not sing along at shows because people have paid a lot of money to be there. However, wearing a mask means that you can lip sync for your life, and
I will
be. Know.
Probably when I hit them with my dramatic arms, doing the whole like dance moves. But yes, it's gonna be a lot,
and we will obviously do a full review after we've seen it. Which I
Is
imagine
it going to be coherent. No.
Well, I think it depends when we record. Maybe we'll have to record a few different versions. We'll do one sort of, you know, when we're back home from London and can have processed it and can analyse it properly. Maybe one the day after when it's still fresh in our minds. And then maybe one directly after the show, which is just 5 minutes of us screaming.
Scaring the London population.
Just us on the tube home going, it's so good.
Screaming and sobbing, which is really, you know, a difficult skill to master. But I think we're going to get there.
A huge thanks to PR Abby for joining me and sharing in this celebration of all things Moulin Rouge. We really are so incredibly excited about this show, and you should be too. If you want to find out more about anything we've discussed here, then check out the links in the post description below, and feel free to let us know your thoughts on the upcoming London production of Moulin Rouge. Is there any cast member that you're particularly excited about? Is there a particular song that you desperately want to hear, or that you think might make you cry when you see it? Are you just ready to be in the theatre and experiencing the magic for yourself? We'd love to know what you think. So find us on Facebook at URN Showtime or on Twitter at Showtime URN, or comment here too. It really is something you don't want to miss out on, though. So we are counting down the days until the curtain goes up at the newly formed Moulin Rouge in London. And on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening, twice. First at 6 p.m. live on urn1350.net with Showtime for a whole hour of glorious musical theatre tunes. And then right here again at 7 p.m. straight after that with a brand new episode of Spotlight On to let you know exactly what's going on in the world of musical theatre. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.